So we're still holding the middle of the piece on Shema Yisrael, on Krishma. Let's take a look at the piece of Maral on the bottom there, brings some Siva Voda. Shema Yisrael. In other words, what's that introductory note of Shema Yisrael? We speak to Klal Yisrael. Why do we need to talk to Klal Yisrael? Mipnei kinikra kabalosoi malchusoi. Kabalos malchusoi. Vikashem amlichim oisoi al uma kuyisbarach malach al am loyal yochid levad. Vihine hu melech Yisrael shem uma achas v'amlichim Hashem Yisrael shuyisbarach echad. Vim kein l'shayach loyim arak Shema Yisrael shem l'kein ushe l'na kodesh baruch Yisrael shem uma achas. So he says over here that the reason why you talk to Yisrael is because being that Krishna is a Kabbalah's Malchus, so therefore an Uma is the most significant projection of it, demonstration of it. So when we say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, we're talking about an Uma, to an Uma, and that's when you have Malchus. I'll explain in a minute, maybe. Why do you say Hashem Elokeinu? Let's discuss this point about Malchus. This is called Kabbalos Oil Malchus Shemayim. And it is not so much a proclamation of that HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists, but that he's Melech HaOlam. And of the situation, so we have a musig of a Malchus relates to me in the fact that I'm a Kabbal de Malchus Shemayim, so it's meaningful to me, but it's a lot more meaningful in its big definition as an Ummah. Malchus applies to Uma. Uma is a Melech, and that's a Malchus. Let's discuss a little bit why that is, and why is that the way Malchus expresses itself, and why is this more than anything else Kabbalah's Malchus? If we're to ask ourselves in the big picture, what is Davodas Hashem? So you have HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Makor is Echad. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a world. The world is different than HaKadosh Baruch Hu at first glance. It looks different. It appears different. And the chiyuv is to have the world come back to look like the Sheirish. We spoke last night a little bit about Adam El Elyon, something similar to that. But over here, it's much more specific. If we're to ask ourselves, in what way are we different than HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So when we say spiritual, material, then yes, no matter what, we're not going to become a ruchnistic world. We're a material world. We're physical. So in what way can we say that this world starts different than HaKadosh Baruch Hu and ends up similar or reflect HaKadosh Baruch Hu? In what midah? In what inyan? So if we take a look in davening, we say more Rabu Maaseh Hashem. Hashem has done many, many things, many deeds. More Rabu Maaseh Hashem. On the one hand, looking as a physical person, I'm wowed. Wow, look at how many different types of animals there are in the world. And that's something which is, to me, as a physical being, many diversity, variety is awe-inspiring. But it raises the question, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one. So how from one did many things come about? Let's give a mashal so we'll understand. So it's a philosophical question. I want to understand it in terms of people. We have two people. Both of them have many, many qualities. Talents, qualities, they're brilliant, they're talented, amazing. One person gets written down as an asterisk in a Guinness World Book of Records, and one of them makes history. What's the difference? So imagine somebody, we say this person A. Person A is extremely talented. He memorizes phone books. He bends pennies. He does more somersaults than anybody else. He knows 13 exotic Indian languages, bal pe. He can solve abstruse equations. It's amazing. What does it add up to? A Guinness World Book of Record asterisk. Not more than that. Another person sets out, I want to try to build, I don't know, the biggest company for X. So I use my talents and I say, okay, I'm going to figure out what's the essential thing I need and develop the product. I know the people I need to reach out to and I can keep track of who's doing what and so on. And when I integrate all those talents into one tachlis, it's wow, I've made the biggest company, I've run the biggest army, country, whatever it is. The difference between the two is the first person is like a grab bag of whatever you have. It's like each talent that he has is an odd end in a bag full of stuff. There's no shaykhs one to the other. That type of stuff is great for curios. Doesn't produce anything. The other person has taken the different pieces and made it into one big thing. You meet also, over life, you meet people that you say to yourself, that they're like, these type of people are like geniuses, and they feel somehow the world doesn't recognize them. And you've talked to the person, and he is amazingly bright, but his ideas and his thinking, everything, it's just odds and ends. It's a big assortment of odds and ends. Nothing there that you say is cohesive or put together. So, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Echad means that everything is one and the same. So let's say in a person we can have both varieties. A person can never have made a cohesive self, and therefore every bit and piece is just pieces. Or if he puts down a very clear matara and everything is towards that matara, then we see an integrated whole. When we look at a Kadosh Baruch Hu as being echad, and the world as being many, then basically that's the greatest discrepancy and almost the stira to echad. So how from one God can come out all sorts of random things that don't have anything to do with each other, really, and don't add up to much. The tikkun of the world, or the tachlis of the world, is that the world reintegrates itself to the sherish. That's what a malchus is. So let's take an example of when you have a democracy. So you have a room of 100 people here. Everybody wants their own thing. But you've got to be able to compromise. So the final thing that everybody agrees to is more it's a patchwork of stuff. He very much wanted, by him, the most important thing is Vasikin. So that's why they daven Vasikin. For him, the important thing is to have Sipur Tzadikim before davening. So we can have Sipur Tzadikim with Vasikin. This person wants to have a big nap lunchtime. So it has no shaykhs one to the other. But that's democracy. Everybody's goal is reflected. So you get it hobbles along. It's not integrated, but it works. It goes. It hobbles. It doesn't go anywhere, but it goes. When you have one person ruling totally, somebody who's totalitarian, so my vision is, this is the vision. You do this, you do this, you do this, you're here, you're there, and this and that, and all the pieces work, function as one machine. Same thing is true with a person, personality-wise. We all have lots of different drives and talents and directions. That's what a person is. So a person who doesn't have the Nekuda of Malchus is all over the place. So there's nothing, one thing has no shaykhus to anything else. And we look at that type of person, the worse it is, we see him as all over the place. We see him as pieces. The person who has like a very strong, where his rutzen dominates everything, and this is what I want, so this talent I use here, this talent I use there, and this I hear, and this is that. So Mekabel Malchus means where the pieces come together And because all the pieces are directed by an echad, by a rotzen echad, they all integrate and form one entity. It's true at some level on a person's own kol nefesh, like we spoke, but it is more visible and most manifest in a nation. That's how a nation works, with a king. A nation with a king works that as opposed to democracy, which is a sort of a compromise between many ritzonos, a malchus is one ratzon with many pieces working together to express that ratzon. It's minat kotz ala kotz. I'm not talking about a type of malchus where the king is just an old glutton who uses the you know, basically the kingdom to satisfy his tithes. I'm talking about malchus, the real malchus. So if we ask ourselves, Hashem's malchus, where would that express itself most? It would be in Klal Yisrael, as opposed to any yochid. Every yochid needs to subscribe to being part of the malchus and to being in sync with the malchus. But really, when we talk about the Achdus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem Echad, speaking to Klal Yisrael is a place where speaking to Yisrael as a whole is where we'd have it. If you want a good example of something like that, it's by Yaakov and by Yechi. When he had his children around him, we had the Shvatim around him, gave each one his bracha and Asfali and so on. All of that is bringing together all the pieces, and that's where they said Shema Yisrael. They said Shema Yisrael, and he said he answered Baruch Shem Kusa. We'll get to it soon. So Al Kapanim, that's the type of. So therefore, he says. So every person needs to be mekabel his own malchus. You know, we can't get out of that. We can't just talk about Kadosh Baruch Hu. But tachlis, the only way in which we will, the main thing is Klal Yisrael. But loydei rak imam Hashem lekenu. And even though not Klal Yisrael is not here, I'm talking at best to a room full of people. So the right way of expressing what Krishna is, I am speaking to everybody, because that's the tachlis of what I'm trying to accomplish. I'm trying to accomplish that Klal Yisrael together reflect Malchus, and I need to include myself in it. Void ki kriya shma is who calls about Torah, but Torah comes calls about Torah. He says a second reason is Kriya Shema is a Kriya of a parsha in the Torah, and it's fascinating because let's think about it. On the one hand, I as a person am supposed to be mekabel malchus shemayim, be mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and so on. Yet, the only way I can say it is by using a pasuk in the Torah. In other words, I don't have, for me to express a mitios about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for me to express statements about HaKadosh Baruch Hu that are emes and so on, we use the lashonis that the Torah gave us, and then we know we're safe. Let's take another example. The Gemara says you're not allowed to be marben shvach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu because there's no end to it. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says to us, you know, if a person gets up and says, you know, the famous Gemara, he started saying a whole list of shvach. He says, "Did you finish?" So how do we address HaKadosh Baruch Hu? The Teretz is there's a pasuk, or Kela Gola Gibor Vanayra. So once we have a pasuk, we can use the pasuk. We can use dvarim that are written and say that. You know, and that's why in tefillah, if you take a look at the piyutim, v'urachum, you take a look at Vur Rachim that we say on Mondays and Thursdays, you will notice that is the vast majority of psukim. If you take a look at Slichas, the psukim, if you take a look at Piyutim, the pieces of psukim, pieces of Chazal, it's almost, and there was a certain sense of safety that if I'm using the words that the Torah uses, then I'm not saying anything that's questionable. It's very tough for us to make a statement. In Derech Agav, Maima Muska, somebody pointed this out to me when I was working on the Siddur. So on the Halachis, I tried to rephrase them to make them as sort of modern as possible, as user-friendly as possible, and so on. Because Shachar Slosh is not always accurate. And it's very hard. So one of my uncles, a great man, should be well, he pointed out correctly, if you take a look, LaMarshall, look at the way in which the Sfarim did things. The Rambam, the Rif, uses the Lashna Gemara, except for where he argues, or explains, or brings Shitas. So does the Rush. The Rambam uses the cases of the Gemara. The Rambam will always use the Gemara's cases and not give his own original cases. The Shulchan Aruch will quote the Lashon Rambam unless he needs to make a change. If he's arguing. The Be'er Hetev will quote the Magen Avraham the way it is, and the Shabur will quote the Be'er Hetev, again, unless he's arguing with change or something. There's something, a person can never be yored lesof the amkos, the precision that was put into previous. So it is appropriate, and so he told me, you need to take Lashon Shulchan Aruch and Shabur, unless it's very unintelligible, then add a hezbo. But Tachlis, using the Lashon, Rabbah, it says, the Gemara says, a person needs to use that Lashon because you may be skipping something. So the Gemara says, we're using a Lashon that's written in the Torah, and therefore we need to say it the way the Torah. If the Torah says Lashon Echad, we say that Lashon. We repeat that Lashon, and we say that's a Pasuk of Kabbalah Sama Shemayim. Let's take a look at, if you take a look at Moshe Shemayim Esra, in the Shemayim Esra of Yosh Hashanah, you use Psukim. For Marzah and Shefes, we use Psukim. That's the core of it. One more thing he says over here, and he says, Shemayim Esra Shekhan Hashem Echad, the Fikach Yobay Malchus Shemayim Beshesh Teva Shemayim Esra Shekhan Hashem Echad, Zer Yipesh Anam Moidim Shu Yochid B'chol Atzdodim, V'atzdodim V'cholokim, Zer Mizet Shetach Shishkan Shriyas Mishar Atzdodim. So he says like this, if you take a look if we were trying to look for a physical demonstration of distinctions and differences, our basic sense of orientation in a three-dimensional world is three axes. You have X, Y, and Z axes, gives you the coordinates for any object. That's how you map out an object. So Bal Karchach, if we're to ask ourselves distinction, where does that lie? East, west, north, south, up, down. So when I want to distinguish from I have two objects that are exactly the same physically, the way in which I distinguish them is I say, this starts at X coordinate 3 to 5, and this starts at 1 to 3. That's how I deal with it. That's how I distinguish it. So if we're looking to find, so the number 6 is a number that's makif, all different stadim. So the differences, the distinctions in this world that are in a very basic way bred by makom are 6, and that's why we say 6 keneged that. Moral says this in tons of places. That's why Klai Yisrael is shishim ribu. It's a 6 times something, because it's 6 is a number that gives you the all the different stadim. Even when we talk about things that are more abstract, an argument, a line of reasoning, I say I will give you the different sides of it. One side and another side. Tzad Echad and Tzad Sheni. So there are 6 stadim in the Bria. Maral speaks in their mitzvah about the four Malchias as being four different stadim, and so on. But Akoponim, so therefore we have six words, which is telling me that all of them are shaykh to it. And Klai Yisol Shishim Ribu is connected, that he says, V'chol asher tzad echad dava, eina dava shalom asher tzad echad. And so the shleimus lies when you take the six stadim and move it together as one. Let me just compliment, let me just finish this thought. We speak about six and seven. Let's just understand the six and the seven. So you have 6 days of the week and seven. So let's think a little bit about this. 6 days of the week is the same thing. When we work on a job, when we're doing a paint job, so 6 days means how long it takes me to be able to stand and paint. Hey, I can only paint just so much, and there's a lot of walls, so 6 days it took me to paint. It's how long it takes to paint. That's not Shayat HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What is Shayat HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, let's go a different example. Imagine I'm going in and teaching a class. I'm teaching a class, and I know the material. It's third grade. It's fifth grade. I know the material from whatever's there in the beginning of the year to the end of the year. I could stand there for 10 hours, and I'll tell them everything. The poor boys, it will be a huge mishmash in their heads. If I try to give the whole thing over from A to Z, it's just confusion. So I break it up into segments. Today we're going to understand A. Tomorrow we'll understand B, and then C, and then D. When a person is teaching a machlokas rishonim, let's say, a machlokas achronim. So you don't want, you explain one side, and usually a kid will say, but the other side is, you say, forget about the other side. I want you to understand this side and to live it and to feel it now. This is the way it is, and so on. And then you want the second side. Now let's hear this side completely. Let's just understand this side and sort of identify with it, and so on and so forth. I give each one its own unit so that it's fully expressed. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world in 6 days, it wasn't because HaKadosh Baruch Hu took so long to work. Union regulations mandate that at least 6 days be given for a job, for creation jobs. That, you know, that's how it goes at. It's the pshat that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to create six distinct units, that each one, that whether it's Yukava, Mayan, Tache, Aretz, Desha, is one particular unit. Each day has its own identity, its own Metzias, its own Shir Shal Yom, everything about it is itself. The seventh day is the concept of Echad. When you take the six and the Echad which unites it all. So the Moshe, if I have a car, has, I don't know, let's say 10,000 pieces, just sort of throwing out a number. So this car is made of 10,000 pieces plus the integration of all the parts together to form a car. It has the car also. It has the pieces and it has the car. That's what this car is about. So 6 days plus a seventh day is where you get. So anytime you have the number six means every tzad is a full tzad. This tzad and this tzad and this tzad and this tzad. It's anything physical. The fullness of all tzadim is six, and then the seventh is always the concept that brings them together, integrates them. The achdus that comes together. Okay, we'll hold it here.
7 feet at the center.